It's Saturday, April 16th, 2005. I'm Alan Joyce, and this is the Everything Digital Podcast.
Podcasting almost live.
The Everything Digital Podcast. If it's digital, you're going to hear about it. Unless it's Windows.
All right, Everything Digital Podcast time, Saturday, April 16th, and got quite a bit to talk about, especially since haven't been here in more than a week, actually. So been building up information and trying to get some stuff together for this show. A lot of big news, a lot of big Tiger news, but we will talk about that later. Because right now, let's start those 5 5-second news headlines. The RIAA is filing lawsuits against over 400 students at 18 U.S. colleges over music they illegally downloaded over the Internet 2 network. Intel is shipping its first dual-core Extreme Edition chips this week, making them available for use primarily in Dell and Alienware PCs. IBM has established a contract with the United Arab Emirates and agreed to build a nationwide automobile monitoring system for $125 million. Sony has said that it is willing to participate in talks with Toshiba concerning the possibility of avoiding a DVD format war by using one standardized format. Also, Skype Voice over IP service has announced that it is less than 100,000 downloads away from reaching the 100 million milestone. Alright, those are just the short headlines. There are, as always, links to the full stories in the show notes at everythingdigital.org. So, first thing on the agenda tonight is the release of Tiger. Or the scheduled release of Tiger, at least. According to Apple's website, Tiger is scheduled to debut on April 29th, which is only 13 days from today. So definitely an exciting thing for Apple. It's taken quite a while to get Tiger out there, and plenty of conferences and keynote speeches where I'm sure they really would have liked to promise Tiger at some date, but just couldn't get it out there. But of course, you know, Longhorn's still years away, so Tiger's ahead of the game in that respect. But still, very nice. Only 13 days, and you will be able to go into any Apple store or probably most computer retail stores now that Apple is expanding into more and more stores. You will be able to go in there and buy Tiger. And I believe it is $129. I'm not completely sure about that, though. And, of course, a lot of new features coming in Tiger. We got Spotlight, the Search Anything technology. We've got Dashboard, the little collection of widgets that flies down onto your screen, so you can see, you know, what song is playing in iTunes. You can see the weather report, the stock report, the flight tracking, eBay auctions, things like that. All just, you know, flying down with the press of a button. So, and of course, there's a lot of other features. One I am looking forward to. Pretty far up there in the features that I'm most looking forward to is Automator, which I think it's sort of a macro design tool, probably uses some form of Apple script, and it'll record your actions, or you can tell it what type of action you'd like it to do, and then it'll just start doing that over and over again. So it sounds like sort of an easy way for the general user to create an Apple script. Which is good, because it'll make it a whole lot easier to, you know, do complicated things very quickly and very easily. And I'm thinking that maybe for the whole podcast, you know, uploading and converting and you know, exporting the show notes, all these post-production steps that I have to go to, and probably most podcasters have to go through in order to get the content up online, hopefully Automator will be able to handle that sort of thing, and you'll just be able to say, okay, I've got the show, it's right here, you know, make it ready to upload to the internet. So hopefully that can be done. Another thing I want to talk about is, speaking of AppleScript, iChat Notify BT, that script that I said I was working on the last show. There were a couple bugs that I was still working out. The actual sending via Bluetooth was a little hard, but now it is completely released on everythingdigital.org, and you can download it. There are a few things you have to do to sort of get your computer ready to handle the script, and those can all be taken care of. .org and find the post where I announced the iChat Notify BT script, and the instructions are posted there. Just a couple things you have to do to make sure it actually sends to the right phone or other Bluetooth device. If you didn't hear on the last show what the script does, whenever a buddy sends you an IM on iChat, it will create an address book contact with the name new IM. It will then save that to the desktop as a vCard, and then send that to your Bluetooth phone or any Bluetooth device that accepts vCards, for that matter. So it's kind of like automated bluejacking, with a more specific purpose to notify you of a new IM. Of course, it still has a 30-foot range, which is limited by Bluetooth. However, should be a handy tool if you frequently go out of the room or to the bathroom, and you want to know if someone's IMing you. As long as you're within 30 feet and you've got your phone with you or other Bluetooth device, then you can know when you're being sent an instant message. Also, this is kind of an interesting story that I saw on Google News. Actually, I just eliminated the lag there. That's why my voice cut out for a second. Saw this on Google News a couple days ago. The first Arctic Wi-Fi hotspot has been installed. It is located at the Barneo Ice Camp, 80 kilometers away from the North Pole, and incorporates an 802.11b/g access point and three IBM Centrino laptops. The whole setup is really a publicity stunt by Intel, and a way to show how these technologies can really stand these rough conditions. The base station uses an Iridium satellite phone to connect to the internet, so I'm guessing the internet is fairly slow if it's going over a phone line, a satellite phone line, so it could be faster than a conventional phone line, but I'm guessing it's not the fastest internet. However, still an interesting project to get a Wi-Fi network set up in extreme conditions like that. Also, there was an interesting hoax that made the news recently. Three MIT graduate students were skeptical of the academic standards of certain scientific conferences. And so the students wrote a program to auto-generate gibberish research papers and submit them to different conferences. Then the funny thing is, one of their papers was actually accepted. They made two auto-generated papers and submitted them to the World Multi-Conference on Systemics, Cybernetics, and Information in Orlando, Florida. One of the papers, titled Router, a Methodology for the Typical Unification of Access Points and Redundancy, was accepted and scheduled for presentation. So, really an interesting story. And sort of poking fun at these conferences that don't necessarily have the highest standards for the papers and presentations that they schedule. Really interesting, though. And actually, where I read this, there's a link to it in the show notes. There was actually, in one of the related links on the page, there was a link to the auto generator as a CGI script. So you could actually run it yourself, and then it generates a gibberish paper for you. And it's really funny. It uses all these, you know, complex and profound words and language, and really says nothing. but it's fun to see these papers auto-generated for really no purpose at all. Okay, here's some non-RIAA music for you. This is from Gross Misuse of Noise off of GarageBand.com. And this is Hello.
Hello, hello, you know, nobody feels like. Well, suppose you know, we'll say what you know. Well, let's go, you know, you want to. You keep talking, I pretend.
That's Gross Misuse of Noise off of GarageBand.com. And something I wanted to try to close up the show here, or for the last segment of the show. I heard about this site on Jimmy Jett's podcast, the podcast about nothing, located at JimmyJett.com. And this was one of his links of the day, and I thought it was really interesting. And really a great experiment in artificial intelligence. The site is 20Q.net, and it's basically a website that'll play 20 questions with you. So you think of an object, right, and it starts asking you questions. You answer the questions, and it gradually, at 20 questions or before, it will determine what you're thinking of. And the funny thing is, it's usually right. Now, how does it do this? Well, through the answers that it has been given, and through playing probably thousands upon thousands of games, it gradually has learned how people tend to answer different questions for different objects that they're thinking of. So as people play with it more, it just becomes smarter and smarter. So I thought we'd play a couple games on the air just to see how amazing this thing really is. So let's think of an object, and let's start with something basic. So first let's do, say, a computer. And then first it asks, is it animal, vegetable, mineral, other, or unknown? Other. Does it help accomplish tasks? Yes, it does. Can you get information by using it? Yes, you can. Does it bring joy to people? Yes, it does. Can it make a sound? Yes, it can. Is it something you bring along? Yes, it is. Is it made of metal? Rarely. Most computers are made of plastic nowadays. Is it found on a desk? Usually. Can you put something into it? Partly. Is it used to record an event? Yes. Do you open and close it? Yes. Well, no, because it could be a laptop. So I guess we'll say, depends. Can it be used to talk to others? Yes. Do you hold it when you use it? Depends. Is it heavier than a pound of butter? Well, could be like a Palm Pilot or something. Or like a mini computer. I'll say usually. Is it worn on the human body? Doubtful. Do you need batteries to use it? Sort of. I'll say usually. Is it white? Mine is, but sometimes. Can it cry? No. Is it larger than a microwave oven? I think some desktops are, but I'll say rarely. Laptop computer. There we go. I was thinking of a general computer, but yeah, pretty good. All right. I think the funny thing is, in my mind, I was actually thinking laptop, partly because I've got a laptop in front of me. But I guess I was just reducing the lag again there. My vision of a computer is more of a laptop. So really, deep down, I was thinking of a laptop, and it knew that. So, all right, let's play this one more time, or maybe twice. We'll see where we're at after one more. All right, how about something more abstract? How about time? Time. Let's go with time, and not the herb. Time is in the concept. Is it colorful? No. Is it human-powered? No. Does it bring joy to people? I don't know. Maybe? Is it small? No. Is it hard? No. Can you find it in a house? Huh. Time? Yeah, I guess you can find it everywhere. So, yeah, sure. Is it colorless? Yeah. Does it move? Yes. Does a basketball player use it? Partly. Is it located in the sky? No. Can you use it with your friends? Sort of. I'll say maybe. You don't really use it, but can it be measured? Yes. Is it something you bring along? Partly. Is it usually visible? And that sort of depends. Partly. I think I chose a really, really hard object here. Does it come from the ground? No. Would you pay to use it? Actually, yes, you would, because you pay someone for their time, right? Partly. Have you seen one in real life? partly. Is it used in a sport? Yes, definitely. Yeah, I'm guessing that it is time. I had no I did not think it would guess that, but that is truly amazing. So, yes, that is it. 20Q1, and then it shows you what the contradictions were. You know, it says, is it something you bring along? I said partly. It thinks that it would be no. Is it usually visible? I said partly. It says no. Would you pay to use it? I said partly. It said no. Have you seen one in real life? I said partly. It said no. All right. I think I'm going to end it there because we're just about or just over 20 minutes here. And hope you enjoyed this Everything Digital podcast. Thanks for listening. And this outro music is from GarageBand.com. This is the Wet Cat Blues Band down in Mississippi. And you can post comments at everythingdigital.org, and you can find everything related to the Everything Digital podcast at everythingdigital.org as well. You could vote for the Everything Digital podcast on Podcast Alley at podcastalley.com or use the small form on the right-hand side of everythingdigital.org. You could subscribe to the Everything Digital podcast at everythingdigital.org/rss.xml. And if you would like to contact just me and don't want your comment publicized on the everythingdigital.org comment section, then you can email me at alan@everythingdigital.org. You can also Skype me. My ID is everythingdigital. You can AOL Instant Messenger IM me. That's podcaster. Or you can, of course, call 206-9-THE-EDP or 206-984-3337 and leave an audio comment. Thanks for listening again, and stay subscribed.